We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, Grinders. Welcome to the DFS pregame show here on Roto Grinders. I'm Jordan Cooper, aka Blender Ed, Blender HD. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Monday, December 5th. And you know what we do on Mondays? It's Mondays with McCool. We bring in James McCool, the co-author, with me on the theory of daily fantasy sports. Get the advanced player's guide. How to apply profitable DFS strategies. Includes custom Excel tools developed by the man, James McCool himself. I didn't have a very good Sunday yesterday for two reasons. Number one, lost in DFS. Number two, didn't feel well. I pretty much slept through most of the slate anyway. So you wake up and you go, oh, okay, what happened to Kenny Walker? Mm-hmm. Oh, he got injured. It's like, oh, what happened to this guy? And like, so I don't know what happened that much throughout the latter, maybe the first 2 hours I saw, but the second 2 hours, not so much. Yeah. So what was your takeaways overall yesterday?
I thought yesterday was, that's like made sense. The guys who we mostly expected to do well, pretty much did well. It was not the day to pivot at wide receiver. Wide receiver chalk basically nuked the slate. Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Christian Kirk, and Christian Watson all, put up pretty good scores.
Was Christian Watson, I was going to ask you, like, where did Christian Watson's 17% ownership at 5,200 come from?
I heard rumblings. Like, I had heard people talking about wanting to play him just because of his involvement so far in the offense and Green Bay scoring more lately. I had Green Bay implied for like the second most passing touchdowns on the slate, I think, like 1.77. So I get it.
Not to that extent. I mean, I could see Christian Watson 8%.
No, yeah, yeah.
So 17, like the things that I understood, it's like, okay, Wilson 33, Amon-Ra St. Brown 27. The reason why I didn't have a very good day in GPPs is because I made it a point to not play them together.
Right.
Like to not play Garrett Wilson one-offs in a Jacksonville Detroit lineup and, you know, not play Amon-Ra St. Brown in a non Jacksonville Detroit stack lineup. So like, yeah. I didn't have these guys together. I understood Nick Chubb's ownership. I mean, yeah, he got way up there, 25% ownership. I didn't have him that high, but like Nick Chubb, I never play because he's never under owned.
We've talked
like,
about
and
that,
this is yeah, like, oh, against the Texans, you got to play him, right? So I knew his ownership was going to come up, and I knew, you know, obviously P. Ryan, you know, with Mixon out at 20%.
I thought P. Ryan came in way under what I expect him to be.
Only because it's late. Like P. Ryan, if we knew P. Ryan was in for sure on Wednesday, I mean, P. Ryan should have been like probably 40-45%.
Yeah, I thought he was going to touch 40-45. That's what I thought.
Do you think, James, do you think the reason why people didn't get up to P. Ryan, do you think it was because it was late? Like, it's not only late news, but also it's a late game. But do you think that the other reason is that the past 2 weeks, when we've gotten like late news, it was Michael Carter and it was Kenyon Drake, and they both bombed. It's like, I ain't falling for this again.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that I don't know why he didn't end up super high owned. I had him projected for 20% owned. So, like, I can't be mad that he came in 20% owned, right? But it's interesting because the last couple weeks, we've had these guys who are 6K. This like 5,700 to 6,400 range has just been chalk city for running backs. And looking at P. Ryan after his usage last week, after all the reports came out on Joe Burrow, very, very unlikely to play. Basically, like, they did all but rule him out before the slate. And him being at 6K, there were relatively expensive wide receivers that people wanted. There were relatively expensive quarterbacks that people wanted. I was really surprised that P. Ryan did not come in higher. I can't find any justification for why he only came in at 20.
In 18 of my lineups, I had to fight him in 14 out of 18 right. lineups.
I had him in 2 out of 3, and the only reason I didn't have him in the third is because it was a Bengal stack. And I was using it to hedge it. Like, otherwise, I had him in all three. Him and Travis Etienne Jr., I thought, were the best running back plays on the slate by, like, a large margin. And
yeah, Etienne's ownership went way down. I mean, I
don't know why. I thought they were the best plays on the slate at running back.
11%. I mean, the running backs I played the most was P. Ryan, Etienne, and Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had P. Ryan and Etienne, and then I had a David Montgomery lineup in that third lineup, just because that 6K range, that has been the money spot for running backs. And I guess that 6K range in that lineup, I could have played Jamal Williams. I could have played DeAndre Swift. I did consider playing DeAndre Swift after a really nice jump in usage last week. But yeah, I don't know why those guys' ownership dropped. It was really weird. I don't get it.
I mean, the reason why I did poorly is primarily because,
yeah,
wide receiver chalk and just like, yeah, in 18 lineups, I had 7 Garrett Wilson lineups. I mean, it's not like I didn't play Garrett Wilson. I had 2 Kirk Cousins lineups and I had 2 Mike White lineups and they both had Garrett Wilson in it.
Yeah.
So, you know, playing Mike White, Garrett Wilson, Tyler Conklin, playing Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hockenson, Garrett Wilson, you know, that type of lineup. And then I purposely, like, for the Jaguars-Lions game is that, like, I wouldn't play Amon-Ra St. Brown without a stack type of lineup. And if I'm playing that, like, in the Garrett Wilson lineups, I'm not playing Amon-Ra St. Brown. In the Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm not playing Garrett Wilson. So, like, I'm like, okay, how could I have gotten there? It's like anyone else that was in the line in my lineups. Like I played a lot of Keenan Allen. I mean, he got 20.8, but I mean not. I mean, yeah. He didn't put up as much as Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, we saw like Sky Moore, 9.3% owned. I mean, I expected that. Sky Moore didn't actually project all that badly. For 3,100, but like I wasn't playing him as a one-off. He was in my Mahomes line, like Mahomes, yeah. Kelsey, Sky Moore, with P. Ryan, you know, something like that.
Yeah,
I had Carr Adams lineups. Right, Adams did well. Like I looked through some of my lineups, and I go, normally. These wouldn't be that bad lineups. And they weren't that bad lineups. It just, it was missing one of a high owned player with 25 plus right. points in it. Like that's the only, it's just every lineup I have is missing that one slot. And it has a guy with like 12 points instead.
Mm-hmm.
And when a third of the lineups have Garrett Wilson and a quarter of the lineups have Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's kind of hard to make up those points. Even though you have all your lineups with Samaje Perine in them.
Right.
Problem is that Etienne only has 8 points also.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I had Kenny Walker, not in that many lineups, and he got injured.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a Las Vegas Charger. I had a Raiders Charger stack. Because remember, we talked about this late last week, right? And we talked about how Las Vegas Chargers looked great. And I said, it's going to go way under-owned because people are going to be looking at the Jaguars and Detroit game. And I was right. And Joshua Palmer, 6.9% ownership. Devontae Adams, 12%. Derek Carr, 4%.
Eckler was owned 17. I mean,
he was, and I had him in that stack. So I had a Las Vegas and Chargers lineup, which was Carr, Eckler, Devontae Adams, Joshua Palmer, and Mac Hollins. So I overloaded a little bit, had one extra player there. I had a Bengals stack, which was actually my worst performing stack, even with Joe Burrow putting up 30 points, because I had T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and both of them mostly were pointless, and Travis Kelce didn't do anything. And then I had a Minnesota stack, like you. I wanted to have Garrett Wilson because I thought it was a good play, but I'm not going to play him alone. And Justin Jefferson at 4% owned is awesome. That's a great spot to be on the slate. But like I said at the beginning, it was not the slate to pivot at wide receiver. Like, all you needed to do was have a different stack and eat all the chalk at wide receiver and pivot running back. And you had a great week. But I just didn't do that this week.
Looking at the Nick Chubb ownership now reinforced my decision of some my worst lineups were let's take a look at when I could get Amari Cooper at 9.6%, Donovan yep. Peoples Jones, but I played a Deshaun Watson lineups. Yep. I mean, now obviously in hindsight, it looks like leverage now. I mean, I didn't think Nick Chubb would be 25% on. I thought he would be 16.
Yeah, I thought like 15.
Nothing that's leveragey. It's just that like Watson hasn't played in like 2 years and it's not like he projected badly. He's playing the Texans, mm-hmm. right? And, they're just going to run the ball. And who knows? Who knows what the hell they're going to do? I mean, I could have easily seen, just from a narrative perspective, that they spent all this money on Deshaun Watson. And they go, let's show what we spent our money on by letting
especially against his old team. Like, I could have
said. Right. The Browns aren't making the playoffs or anything, so let's just let him have fun. And he did, and he looked horrible.
I had Amari Cooper in my Viking stack, which was for me a pivot off of Amon-Ra St. Brown, like pretty much the same price. I had him projected around the same. And then Deshaun Watson came out.
You couldn't have had Amari Cooper projected almost the same as Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I had Amari Cooper. I had Amari Cooper at 15.5 and Amon-Ra St. Brown at 17.5. It's pretty close.
2 points.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
What am I aggregate? I would think that's a much bigger difference there. In my aggregate, let's see. I still got it up. Amon-Ra, I had a 20.54.
Woo!
And Cooper at 15.99. So to me, that's a big gap.
For you, a difference of 4 points makes a lot more sense than me, a difference of 2 points.
Right. But of course, mine is just basically an aggregate of everyone's projections.
Yeah. And I get it.
I had him high. It's like you have your own originated projections, mm-hmm. and I'm just using everything around the industry.
I, in general, think because I can see how you get to 20 on Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that probably my touchdown projection for the Lions was relatively low in terms of passing touchdowns. Yeah, it was. So I had the Lions with a heavy rushing split in the red zone, 1.74 rushing touchdowns and 1.17 passing touchdowns. If I flip that, Amon-Ra St. Brown absolutely projects for 20. So it's not that I thought that he was a bad play. I just thought that with the other wide receivers there, unless I'm stacking that game, which, by the way, people stacking the Jaguars side of that game was hilarious.
I played a lineup or two like that.
No, dude, Trevor Lawrence is not that guy.
Lawrence plus Kirk plus Ingram.
Yeah, but he's just not that guy. Look, Trevor Lawrence.
That guy, what? And Geno Smith wasn't that guy, and Geno Smith's in the milli one.
No, I mean, I get that. So, but Trevor Lawrence, like, he has had in total 4 300-plus yard games in his career. In his career, 4 of them. Now, 3 of those have come at home. Only one has been on the road.
Oh, you're back to your home road split guy now.
Well, no. I mean, I'm just trying to do more research on the back end because my models are so unsupervised. I've talked about this a couple different
that's
times.
That's not a good thing to admit.
That my models are unsupervised?
Why would you want unsupervised?
No. That's a kind of model, Jordan. It's like,
why don't you want to take care of your model? You're not even supervising it. You're just letting it do what it does and let who cares? It doesn't matter.
It's tech speak. Anyway, my model is largely unsupervised. So I'm trying to be a little bit better about looking into individual players and seeing why it's projecting guys the way that it is. And in general, like Trevor Lawrence is just not a high upside guy. And I thought that it was insane that people were going to be going back to him. Even in a high total, he hasn't shown that he's a guy that's going to give you a huge ceiling. The individual
pieces. Did you just say this like weeks ago with Geno Smith?
Yeah, and I stood on that. Like, I'm still fine with getting beat up by Geno Smith on that. Like, I'm still going to have
Is Jared Goff? Let's say you played Goff on the other side.
Jared Goff's fine. That was fine.
Oh, Goff is fine, but Trevor Lawrence is.
Jared Goff has shown a consistent ceiling at times in his career. Across his entire career, he has shown that he has a ceiling. Trevor Lawrence, four times out of his career, he's had 300 plus yards.
And what happens if it was yesterday?
Well, then it would have been yesterday. And like, okay. I think you're still allowed to have these stances on players. I think that you are still allowed to look, especially when you look at the data and you look at the way the projections are being built up. I had him projected for 19 fantasy points yesterday, which is fine. That's great. But I didn't think that he was going to be winning GPPs coming off of literally a career game, the best game he's ever played, going into a spot. It just seemed like a letdown spot. And as somebody who builds out models, like, I need to follow.
Is there a letdown spot part of your model?
No, but you're not gonna let me have this, are you?
No, I'm not, because you're doing astrology.
I'm not doing astrology. It's important to look at players for who
you
they are.
You choose your lineups based on tarot cards.
I do not choose my lineups. I choose my lineups based on three things, okay? One, what the model likes. Two, the vibes. And three, how handsome the quarterback is. Trevor Lawrence is ugly, dude. He's ugly. That guy's got a face as long as the Panama Canal. Like,
I don't know how to He doesn't seem that unattractive.
He's pretty ugly.
I don't know. I can never tell. I can't tell what a good looking guy looks like.
I mean, just compare him to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, Jimmy G is objectively good looking. And look what happens to good looking guys. They get carted out until the end of the year.
Anyway, I thought.
But this is in your model, so like, if the quarterback is not attractive, you get a downgrade.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Isn't that in everybody's model?
Does he look like the type of person that could put up 30 fantasy points? No,
absolutely not. No,
he doesn't look like it. No. But Geno Smith, on the other hand, is like, how attractive is Geno Smith? This is what we do on Mondays. Would you consider him to be an attractive guy? He doesn't seem that bad.
He's not my type.
Does he look like the type of person that could put up 30 points?
He does look like the kind of person that could put up 30 points.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah. He's got
you're fine with Geno.
He's got a strong brow. He's got a strong chin. You know, he looks like a good football player. You know, pretty
deep. You do
guy.
The X and Y axis on the players' photos and put that into like your yeah. like your mod, like pitch effects and stuff, like for baseball.
What's the word that I'm looking for? How proportional are the players?
Right.
There's a proportional part of my model.
Rory Burke and Chad is, how does one code for he's a six, but he can throw touchdowns?
That's pretty hard to code for. That's the reason why it usually doesn't work out. You know, like if a guy is ugly, he's just not going to be a good football player. That's how it goes. He does kind of look like a Millie winner. That's true.
He does. Mitch Trubisky was a Millie winner. How attractive is Mitch Trubisky?
Well, I mean, we can't judge things specifically off of Millie winners, though, right? Like, we don't look at specific lineups. What True. We need to do is we need to go look at the pro players' exposures and see how much of these ugly players they had. Because that's the real show of how good a player is, not if they've won a Millie.
Do we look at it, and does it matter? Does the salary-adjusted plus-minus of the attractive mm-hmm. plus-minus? So, like, for instance, James, is it okay for me to play slightly uglier players because I myself is ugly? I'm uglier.
No, absolutely not.
So, like, Trevor Lawrence may be a 10 because I'm ugly.
Jordan,
you're attractive. You can't play anyone that's less attractive than you.
You need to make up for the attractiveness scales here. So you shouldn't be playing anybody but like Jimmy G and who's the second most beautiful quarterback in the league?
Quarterbacks? How about running backs?
Well, no, we're looking at quarterbacks here. If we want to get to running backs, it's a whole other can of worms.
Should I play Justin Fields?
Only if he has his long hair. He's super ugly with short hair.
Okay, so when Justin Fields has long hair, that's when I should play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should be playing, let's see. Man, there's a lot of ugly quarterbacks.
Now, just to make it aware to people, for listening, if you're tuning in for the first time for this show, this is totally a bit. People tune in and go, this is how the top DFS players choose their lineups?
Anyway, I think Trevor Lawrence is a bad player today.
Is Kenny Pickett? I had a Kenny Pickett lineup. Was that bad?
Is he a track? I have no idea what Kenny Pickett looks like, actually.
Kenny Pickett, let's see.
I don't think so, man. He kind of looks like, who's that guy that's the main guy? And
no, he looks like I could see people. He looks like he'd be on like Sons of Anarchy or whatever.
I was gonna say he looks like that guy from Death Stranding. Hold
on. He looks like if you're into the backwoods of West Virginia, kind of trucker dude. That's what it looks like.
He looks like if you live in Alabama, he's attractive. I guess.
Right, that's what I'm saying. He's Alabama attractive.
He looks like Norman Reedus.
Okay.
Yeah,
he looks like Norman Reedus. It stars in Yellowstone.
Yeah, he does star. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he looks like he'd be like the main love interest in Yellowstone.
So I'm in Kentucky and you're in Tennessee. So this would be, Kenny Pickett would be
I've been in Tennessee for just about a year, man. I'm not completely acclimated to the standards down here yet. I'm still on the Colorado scale. So
right. If you're in New York or California, then no, you ain't playing Kenny Pickett.
You have no reason to play Kenny Pickett if you live in California. Right. Kenny Pickett's like a 4 on the LA scale.
No, he doesn't. He's done. He would clean up, I guess. I don't know.
You've obviously never been to LA. If you don't think
that I've been to LA.
Okay, well, he's a 4 in LA.
Well, it doesn't look like he's had any surgeries though.
If you line up Kenny Pickett and tell him to go to LA and go to like the main shops in Beverly Hills, he is going to look like a walking bag of potatoes. That guy will look like nothing. People will throw things at him.
Beverly Hills. But isn't that good for his fantasy performance if people are throwing things at him?
Well, I don't
know. More receiving yards.
Is he a mobile quarterback? Because if he is, then he can dodge the things that people are throwing at him.
That's right. See,
is he a mobile quarterback, though? I don't think. How many rushing yards can he pick a have this year? Can he pick at stats? Let's see.
Devin in the chat is saying attractiveness opportunity cause a quarterback was high this week.
It was actually.
So you had to play the attractive ones.
You know, he is a mobile quarterback. He's had a couple games with 6+ rushing attempts. He's pretty mobile. So yeah, he could dodge some things for sure.
Is Patrick Mahomes attractive?
Yeah, he's cute.
How about Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow's cute. Yeah.
Okay. I think Herbert's probably
attractive. This is what I'm saying, dude. Like, you can look at the top players.
Right. I mean, look all the top players. It's you know how ridiculous it is? Like, what were the top plays at quarterback, like, without considering attractiveness? It was, like, probably Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert, right? You look at this, Geno, right? We didn't mind Geno. Kirk Cousins ain't bad looking, right? We look through all this. Deshaun Watson, I mean, in order to get, like, in order to get all the stuff that he was getting, you have to be attractive.
Yeah.
And then Trevor Lawrence. Like, which one doesn't fit this?
Jalen Hurts is beautiful too. Like,
Jalen Hurts,
dude. The best quarterbacks here's a list of the top quarterbacks for me in terms of projection. Patrick Mahomes, cute. Lamar Jackson, handsome. Jalen Hurts, handsome. Geno Smith, not bad. Deshaun Watson, not bad. That's the top 5, right? Here's the bottom 5. Russell Wilson, absolute dork narc. Guy sucks. Taylor Heineke, guy looks like a fed. John Wolford, worst mustache in the league. Ryan Tannehill looks like a foot. And Daniel Jones. This is the perfect scale.
Daniel Jones doesn't look that bad.
He's come on, he's pretty bad.
Well, let's take a look at Daniel Jones. I don't think Daniel, he's always running, so maybe Daniel Jones, let's see. Yeah.
He's pretty ugly, damn it. The guy looks like a thumb.
Your guy looks like a thumb.
He looks like a thumb, dude. So there you go. If you choose your quarterback based on how attractive they are every week, you'll win money.
And if you choose your tight end based on how awful they look, you're probably doing that well also.
You're probably doing fine.
Right. You want to pair your attractive quarterbacks with your gorilla-looking tight end.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know. Travis Kelce is beautiful, too.
Yeah, but like, he's the exception.
I'm pretty sure that Margaret would leave me for Travis Kelce if she had the chance. But like, TJ Hawkinson absolutely looked like a gorilla. Go look up, and just type in Hawkinson.
Yeah, yeah, that's
pretty bad, dude. That's pretty bad.
Right, it looks like someone that would star on like Vikings or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's pretty ugly. He's pretty bad.
Right, but Kirk Cousins, on the other hand, Kirk Cousins isn't all that great either.
No, but I mean, he's a GPP play, right? Like, he could probably clean up pretty well. He's got a cute smile. Right,
yeah, I mean, yeah, the little makeover. Probably has to go on an extreme makeover or something like that.
He's middling, and that's why you only play him in large fields.
Right, like, you take a look with this, like, okay, you could see where.
Sure.
Right. You could see where that is, right? And you pair him up with Hawkinson, and how do you go wrong?
Right.
Or what it is with Mahomes is that Kelce takes the attractiveness of himself and Patrick Mahomes, even if you don't find him that attractive, it's like together. You have to find
those. Yeah, you got to average it out. See, that's why we use a weighted attractiveness model.
See, you're way further ahead than I am. This is what James, this is what happens when you supervise your models.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why this needs to be.
Neil Jaworski says, look at those viewer numbers going down by the minute.
If you don't think that this is attractive after a losing week of DFS, I don't know what to tell you.
What else are we supposed to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, all the chalk killed. Like, what do you want from us? Like, the chalk wide receivers crushed. The chalk running backs didn't. Actually, here's a fun fact. I was cashing with my lineup that had Austin Ekeler until the last play when he fumbled.
Right, because not many running backs, like, did well. I mean... Yeah.
No, I mean, if you take a look at
Ryan, like Jacobs 25, Pirine 24, Swift 21, McCaffrey 28.
And that's pretty much it.
AJ right? Dillon. But I mean, 20. You had a bunch of people. Like if you had like 15 point, if you had 30 combined points in your running back spots, you were probably fine.
Yeah, you're great.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Running back and running back, like in previous weeks, running back has basically decided the slate. Mm. So this week, it absolutely did not. This week, it was literally... I tweeted it out. I said, this is the worst kind of slate. You have the chalk wide receivers and the unowned defense that scores 3 touchdowns. Congrats on your win. That was the entire
Browns defense. If you didn't have the Browns defense, you're, I mean, 31 points for a defense?
And that's why we're talking about the attractiveness of quarterbacks right now.
What is Kyle Allen? Kyle Allen must look awful. Where's Kyle Allen? Doesn't seem like, it looks like a chipmunk though, maybe. That he looks that for he doesn't look like someone that should be throwing three picks and whatever.
What do I have him checked for? I mean, he was down there. He was still bottom 10.
But this is Panthers Kyle Allen. Maybe he's changed.
Oh yeah, how does he look on the Texans now? That's the question.
No, he doesn't look that bad.
He's not terrible. He's middling. You know, he's on the lower scale.
But wasn't one of them like a fumble? Didn't Pierce fumble the ball? Was it all on him? Or it was like tip passes. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure if he was like necessarily at fault for the three touchdowns.
No, I think the Texans just suck, man. One of them was a fumble touchdown. One of them was a pick six. And then one was a Donovan Peoples-Jones kick return, right?
Oh, yeah, the kick. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Okay, it's a DST, right.
It wasn't even really like Kyle Allen doing that bad. It was just like the defense scored in every single way the defense could score. Absolutely lightning in a bottle. And that's why we're talking about the attractiveness of quarterbacks right now on that scale, because like the slate wasn't decided by making good or bad decisions. The slate was literally decided by a defense scoring in every way that a defense can score outside of blocking a kick and returning it. So
right. And playing the three. If you played the chalkiest wide receivers and the Browns defense, you had a shot for first place no matter who else you played in the rest of your lineup.
If you played your cash lineup with the Browns defense.
Right, yeah. Truthfully, yeah. If you played your cash lineup with the Browns, even though the Browns defense was 3,900, but if you found a way to get to the Browns defense and you played your DK cash lineup, yeah.
What the cash core that I put out was. And see if that would have actually worked. Okay, here's the cash core that I went with. Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne Jr., Samaje Perine, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Garrett Wilson, Pat Freiermuth, and then I said the Steelers defense, but replace that with the Browns defense, and you're literally a top 5% finish just with those guys. Like, you don't need to do much else. It was such a lame week for GPPs.
The 411 says, I thought only women pick lineups based on the looks of a player. What's next, uniforms?
I mean, there is significant uniform splits. I've looked as a home road splits guy now. I have also looked in the uniform splits. The cooler the uniform.
What do you look at in uniform splits?
The cooler the uniforms, the higher the upside of the wide receivers. It's like
that's
a point.
That's oddly specific.
It's like a 0.45 correlation. I told you I did the research.
But not the running backs.
No. The running backs are only like a 0.22 correlation or something like that.
And how do you grade the uniforms by coolness?
How many stripes are on the uniforms? The color that's used, like you
average
really,
stripes or raw stripes?
Raw stripes. It's a sum, not an average here. It's okay. The more stripes, the better. The color of the uniforms, brown is a terrible color for upside. Black is okay, but not as good as you'd think that it would be. Surprisingly, orange is one of the best colors to have on a uniform. Really, really.
Yet the Broncos are doing. The Broncos are awful.
It's weird. That's why nobody can explain how bad Russell Wilson's been. The correlation.
Did the Broncos really have orange? Is that orange? That's kind of like burnt.
You can call it sienna.
Yeah, but that's a mix between. Because remember, the worst for upside is brown, and the best is orange, and they're very close to each other.
Yeah, so that's the thing with the Broncos. It's that mix between brown and orange. Right. That's what color they actually have. So, you know, you're going to have games where Cortland Sutton goes for 25 and you're going to have games where, you know, Russell Wilson still hasn't thrown as many touchdowns as in his back.
He didn't throw a touchdown yesterday, right?
Dude, the bathroom narrative, it's still alive and it's still a sweat. He has to average one touchdown per game for the rest of the year, Jordan. Per game. All right. He is averaging currently 0.73.
So he may not throw as many touchdowns as he has bathrooms in his house.
He might not hit that threshold. That is tragic, dude. That is I have never seen a quarterback fall off a hill like this at his age. Like, when it comes to injuries and when it comes to age and stuff like that, we've seen quarterbacks fall apart, obviously. Like, Cam Newton was going to have a short career. Ben Roethlisberger was going to fall off a cliff eventually. But Russell Wilson is, like, small and hasn't had that many injuries and hasn't, like, it doesn't make any sense how he has completely fallen off this cliff. Makes no sense. And sure, Nathaniel Hackett is obviously just like the biggest donk in the entire league. There's no way this guy should be a head coach anywhere for anything above like a high school level. But I just can't figure out how Russell Wilson has been this bad. It makes no sense.
Looks like the Panthers are going to release Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and everybody has already jumped on him being traded or picked up by San Francisco, of which I don't see that happening. But like,
who's the Niners backup now? Who's
Brock Purdy, their seventh round rookie QB. Like, they have to get somebody else. They have to get somebody else. But I don't think it's going to be Baker.
Who was available?
I don't know. Maybe they trade for like Gardner Minshew or Nick Foles or something like that. I don't think they pick up Baker Mayfield. I think that there's already been too much damage done to Baker Mayfield's reputation for that team specifically to pick him up. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe they do pick him up, but
it seems like the 49ers, like their offense would be served much better by some veteran.
Yeah.
Like game manager type.
Well, other people have said Matt Ryan because of how bad the Colts have been. I know. I absolutely.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you have to, other than the fact that he cannot move, Matt Ryan is at least a competent.
Yeah. Yeah. He just, he doesn't.
Okay.
So I see it. And to be fair, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't move either. And that's why he broke his foot. But, you know, I think it would make more sense for them to get, like a Gardner Minshew or a Nick Foles or, I don't know. There's other quarterbacks in the league. There's other backups that I think make more sense than Baker Mayfield for the 49ers. Because they do need a game manager, but they also need somebody who's not going to make mistakes. And Baker Mayfield just falls apart when it comes to any
kind of... It's
hard
not to pick up someone at this point that's not going to make mistakes. They'd already be starting in the league.
Yeah, they're in a really, really bad spot. Really bad spot with both of their starting quarterbacks on IR. I guess they could just try to go with Brock Purdy, but I don't think they do. The bigger issue here, I think, is they traded away so much equity into Christian McCaffrey before this happened that they don't have anything to trade with anymore.
I don't know. Is there any trading left? I mean, Cobra Kai is back and saying there's no trading this late in the season.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what they do. I have no idea what they do.
They have all the pieces. To me, it just seems like you got McCaffrey, you got Debo, you got Ayuk, you got Kittle.
It is the second best roster in the league to the Bills. Maybe the best if you want to consider their defensive strength too. So
right, you just need someone to get just all these skilled position players. Just get them the just here, McCaffrey. There you go. Here's the ball. Right.
Yeah,
eight-yard pass to Debo. You run it. You run 20 yards after the cat. Like, you don't need anything.
Yeah. So I think that's a big thing. You know, if they pick up Baker, I think that's a mistake. I think Baker has too much of an ego for a team like 49ers. That's why Jimmy G does so well in 49ers. He just doesn't have an ego to like try to do his own thing.
Well, look how attractive he is. He doesn't.
Well, yeah, that's the reason why I love Jimmy so much, is that he's attractive and he doesn't have a huge ego. You know, it's hard to not have an ego when you're that attractive. I would obviously know. My ego is through the roof.
But you do have your facial hair back. You don't look like a lesbian anymore.
Yeah, I do. I don't look like a shaved bear anymore. It's tragic when I shave. I shave like once every 2 years or something, just to like let the skin breathe. And now it's back, and I don't look like. Let's see, who's the lesbian friend in most of the Disney movies these days? Because that's who I usually look like when I shave. It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Put Debo at QB. Yeah, you could probably do that. You could put Christian McCaffrey at QB. He threw a touchdown.
He's thrown a touchdown.
Year. Yeah.
He's averaging more touchdowns per game than Russell Wilson. No, seriously, how many games has Christian McCaffrey actually played this year? No, it, Wilson still would have more because he's played enough games.
Yeah, obviously. But
the fact that we think it's close.
Yeah, the fact that I have to go actually look.
Right. It's like, does Christian McCaffrey have more touchdown passes than Russell Wilson?
I think he has more touchdowns per game overall than Russell Wilson, which is still like, that's still a feat. For a running back to average more touchdowns per game than a quarterback is still a feat. Because quarterbacks should be throwing, what, like 20? If they're league average?
20 a season, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So a running back would usually average less than that. Most running backs usually average less than that.
Right. An average running back is averaging less than one touchdown a game.
Yeah. So a good running back probably sitting there at about the same as an average QB in touchdowns per game. So
the question is, James, how many bathrooms does Christian McCaffrey have in his house?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, if we're going with the same scale as Russell Wilson, it's got to be 40, right?
Right. Christian McCaffrey has a ton of bathrooms.
Maybe that's another scale that I need to add into my
You need to scrape that data somehow. Are you going to get it, what, off of Zillow or something?
Yeah, or Realtor.com, Redfin, I guess. Probably go to Redfin and try to find out how many
bathrooms. You're going to find out where all the NFL players live and then figure out how many bathrooms they have.
God, that would be a really messed up data set, dude, just to have. Can you imagine the psychopath that would put
that? No, imagine if there was, if someone thought there actually was correlation in that.
Ugh. Even worse, what if there is correlation in that?
No, there isn't, obviously, but I'm saying it could appear like there is.
Yeah, it would be causation.
Type of clustering illusion and just like, oh yeah, people running backs with more than four bedrooms are more correlative to, you know, passing touchdowns. It's like, okay, let's see how that works out for you in the future.
You know what's funny is like, you could have one good year on that, have it mean nothing because there's only 17 games in a season, and like make a lot of money off of that model. NFL modeling is hilarious because of that. Like, you can have a model that isn't actually good, and one year find some leveled success 4 weeks and be able to sell that for like 5 years. Because the samples are so short.
Right.
49ers bringing in Josh Johnson, who was a Jet last year and put up a big box score one night when Mike White got injured. Yeah, he's a rushing quarterback, right? He's a runner.
Josh Johnson?
I think so, yeah.
I don't think that's the most important question about him.
No, I'm just asking like his like key things that he does, because I don't know much.
No, about but him. That's not. But James, have you not learned from today? All that matters is how attractive he is.
It's a big drop from Jimmy Garoppolo. It's a
obviously it's going to be a big drop no matter what. Josh Johnson.
He's cute. Hey, okay, I'm fine with that.
Josh Johnson. Let's see. I mean, he has big shoes to fill. How come one guy looks way older than the other guy? What's this?
No.
Like, okay, I take a look. Like, this is Josh Johnson. Okay, I get that. And then this is Josh Johnson. This looks like his dad.
Yeah, I think that might actually be his dad. I don't know who that Josh Johnson is. It's the cuter Josh Johnson that they're bringing in.
But they're both wearing the same. What is going on here?
Yeah, like, that's pretty crazy. They both have basically the same shirt, same name.
Right.
How many Josh Johnsons has there been?
Well, let me take. Is this a different Josh Johnson?
It's got to be. Yeah, that's a wide receiver.
Okay, Josh Johnson, wide receiver. Birthday 1999.
That dude looks 60.
Right, 99. That means he's what, 23 years old?
He's not 23 years old.
That's not. I swear, like, this looks like a retired NFL player.
I was going to say, this guy played in the 80s. He was not born in 1999. Dude is for sure 40 years old, without even a doubt. He has six bathrooms in his house and is 40 years old. There's no way.
Josh Johnson, Tulsa. What's Tulsa? images. No, this is a, okay. See, he looks much younger here.
Yeah, no, that picture on ESPN is not nice.
This is not nice at all. I mean, that's why I thought it was just the other Josh Johnson's dad.
He looks, yeah. James Aguilar.
This is what it looks like. It looks like you know those apps on your phone where you make people look older, right? It looks like someone took this exact photo and just said, make him 20 years old.
Yeah, 20 years older. James Aguilar, Josh Johnson wide receiver looks like Eddie Murphy. Yeah, Eddie Murphy after a really long night, four nights in a row. It looks like Eddie Murphy was on a bender. Just came out and took a picture in a blue shirt.
If he was a tight end, he'd be one of the highest.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He would be a fantastic tight end option in terms of fantasy points because he looks like he's having a hard time. Why does he look so much different?
Right. This is what he actually looks like. Right here, Josh Johnson. Right.
What did ESPN do to this poor man to get that picture?
Right, but this picture just looks. I don't know. If you would have asked me, like, how old is that guy? I go, like, I don't know, 50?
We literally thought he played an 8. Like, I wouldn't have guessed 45. I thought that he was actually Josh Johnson's father. I thought Josh Johnson, the quarterback, is actually Josh Johnson Jr. That's incredible.
And, like, and they're wearing the same jersey because they were at, like, Father Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Man, that
bring your dad to work day or something.
That is rude.
What a show this has been this morning.
Yeah, no, this is incredible.
This is incredible content where you get all the entertainment and learn absolutely nothing.
Well, no, people have learned that you can literally take the most attractive quarterback and just use them. There is absolutely something there for quarterbacks. Josh Johnson, the QB, was drafted in the same NFL draft as Matt Ryan. There's no way.
Really?
There's no way.
This the actual Josh Johnson, he looks way younger than Matt Ryan.
There's no way. You're telling me that the younger Josh Johnson could be the older Josh Johnson's father.
Right.
There's no
way. No, let's see. How old actually is Josh Johnson? Where is this? Oh, where am I getting? Quarterback. Josh Johnson. He was drafted in the same draft as Matt Ryan?
I absolutely don't believe that.
Josh Johnson is 36 years old.
Incredible.
You're telling me. Hold on. You're telling me that this guy is 13 years older than that guy.
There's no chance. There is no chance. That is backwards.
This guy is 13 years. He's 36, 23. Is something wrong with the Matrix? What is happening?
That is mind-boggling.
Right. If I would have taken a look at Josh Johnson, I'd be like, oh, no, he looks like 28. Right. I'd be like, okay, he's like 28 or so. It's like, nope, 36. And I looked at this guy. I'm like, I don't know, somewhere in his 50s.
45, 50, retired NFL player, probably had a middling career, had 2,000 total receiving yards over 10 years. That is incredible. I'm going to run a Twitter poll after this. That is incredible.
Incredible. And the only reason we even know about this other Josh Johnson is because we were looking up the other. I mean, does he play for anyone? Who does Josh Johnson play for? Or does he still play for Tulsa? Josh Johnson's, I think he's a free agent. Who was he drafted by? He was in the 2022 NFL draft. But I'm not sure if he was he, did Josh Johnson get?
No, that's the old one.
That's right? The old one. The one that looks younger but is older.
God, that doesn't make any sense. This has broken my head. I'm going to have a terrible
maybe he was undrafted.
He must have been undrafted.
Yeah, I don't see him for any team or anything. Okay, the things we learn.
This blows my mind. That's insane, dude.
To me, that was the most important thing we've learned today.
I'm blown away by this.
That breaks your model.
That literally, I'm going to have to rewrite my model now. Everything that I have studied over 10 years means nothing now. That was insane. That was insane.
James, where can people find your models?
You can pitch me up that way. You can find all
my throughout this episode. Yeah, why not?
You can find all of my stuff over at paterdfs.com. Models for pretty much every single sport, including attractiveness models for QBs. I'm gonna add that up on the site.
You're not seriously gonna do that.
I'm gonna do it just to dedicate to the bit. I'm gonna put up a research sheet that shows the average rating of attractiveness of the QBs. Just you wait for it; it'll be up.
Objective analysis. Subjective. Are you crowdsourcing this?
I'll figure it out, dude. It comes from my models. It's already in the models. You can find all the models over at paterdfs.com, and you can find me on Twitter at @patert_dfs.
You can always get the theory of daily fantasy sports for advanced players. I guarantee you, the stuff in this course has nothing to do with attractiveness and anything else we've talked about this episode. It's not a very good selling point for the course. But sometimes you gotta be lighthearted, have a good free spirit.
Yep.
Right. Have some fun on a Monday after losing a couple $1,000. Especially when I could have late swapped and saved a bunch of money.
Right.
But I fell asleep. So hit the thumbs up button. All you guys out there are attractive. The attractive people have to hit the thumbs up button. I know there are plenty of people out there like, I'm not really attractive. I'm not going to hit the thumbs up button. Well, you could do that also. Hit the thumbs down button if you think you're unattractive. That's perfectly fine. I don't think the YouTube algorithm matters. We got NBA later today on the channel. Scores and odds. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel for scores and odds. They have all your betting stuff. Sister site to Roto Grinders. Subscribe there. Hit the notification bell. We still got World Cup going on. NBA's going on. NFL showdown tonight. The pre-lock show. Got tons of stuff. And sign up for Roto Grinders. Click on that link in the description. Get $10 off your first month. And I'll see you. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll answer your DFS strategy questions. We'll probably be a little bit more serious tomorrow. A little bit more. Actually answer your DFS strategy questions like I try to do Monday through Friday, 11 o'clock Eastern, on the DFS pregame show on rotogrinders.com.